Aloha, and I want to welcome everyone here of the Kilauea community, as well as other communities here, for coming to the fourth and last meeting of KKCR's Be Heard Town Hall Meetings. My name is Mahilani Silva, and what I'm going to do is I'm basically going to go around the room, and you can introduce yourself, as well as if you have any concerns regarding the economic crisis. And if there is something else that you would like to share too, feel free to do so.
Aloha, my name is Hope Kalai, and I'm a mother and a grandmother, and we hold land on Mulawa'a Stream. And our farmers and are very interested in the farming future, sustaining our community here, and it's all dependent on water. We've had big troubles in our stream for the past decade, and the lands that had gravity-fed ditch water of the Kilauea sugar plantation from Mulawa'a to Kalihiwai are all zoned agricultural. To live on them, you have to produce, and there's no water for them. So our economic future is tied to the availability of gravity flow water.
Have you approached the county or the Department of Agriculture or the Department of Land and Natural Resources in regards to this issue?
Yeah, I've approached everybody in the world. And because of the criminal case of Kaloko, nobody is willing to look at any of the water issues until that is settled, and it keeps getting stalled out. But we as a community cannot wait for the determination of a criminal suit. Our whole future is dependent on the highway and the infrastructure. And there's an unpermitted, unengineered ditch system that could take out our highway at any moment, just like it happened at Wailapa. So none of us really on the North Shore are safe from it, and the state is refusing to deal with it until the criminal suit is settled. So,
Do you have a hui in the area that of local farmers who have come together to voice their concerns to the various different agencies?
We have an Ahupua'a-based group that we started about a decade ago, and I don't know who we, it's just kind of a group of neighbors, a network of people that came together. We put up notes on the bulletin board at the bakery and in Anahola, and everybody that came together, the common thread was the dewatering of the streams about a decade ago. And we had a tragic example. One of the, we had a representative of the property owner come to us. They had just spent $60,000 landscaping their streamscape with Ava, nice, really fine varieties of Ava, and all kind of streamscape plants, $60,000 10 years ago money. And then all of a sudden, the stream water disappeared. So they had a wet-dependent hydroscape that had no water. And the house is now infamous or famous in photos as one of the tragic Wailapa Dam breach mud flows pictures. They got their water back with a vengeance, and where it had been going was determined. But our whole future is tied to water and the availability of water. We cannot be using treated potable county drinking water to irrigate our crops. It doesn't make a bit of sense when we have 20 billion gallons coming off this poly right behind us here. It's very inefficient water management practices. And there were 6,000 to 8,000 acres of flood furrow irrigated cane land with this water. Water's still there, but it's not being wisely managed. And it determines the economy of this area.
Do you know the names of those that you've tried to, could you relay the names of those who you tried to contact with the Department of Land and Natural Resources, whose kuleana is to address these issues?
Well, in Coworm, it's Robert Yoon. In Dams, it's Edwin Matsuda. In the AG's office, no, it was Robert Chung in Coworm, Christopher Young in the AG's office. I got a whole list, really. From Laura Thielen, the chairman of the board of BLNR and DLNR divisions. The problem is we don't get local press in the paper, and nobody knows about it. We are so blessed that the county spent $75,000 on the Kilauea Irrigation Company water engineering report, and it gave us all the answers as to where Molawa'a Stream has been going for the past decade. But it has also made us more fearful because now we understand that there's a half-mile diversion on state land that's 6 feet wide, and then it's crammed into an 8-inch pipe at a 90-degree angle. And it's breached many times in the past decade. It's breached onto the highway, and it has taken out a bridge in Lower Molawa'a. Now, the county's replaced this bridge. How many times are we going to keep, you know, paying for this water-stealing folly of mismanagement? It really has a lot to do with our future as farmers in the area. There was a ditch water when we all bought our lands, and now there's none. Even if the ditch water was in pipes, it's still gravity feed, stream, ditch water. So, whew. Sorry.
And who in the county's office were you able to contact, or who was the contact person in the county's office, do you know?
George Costa has, through the Office of Economic Development, they have funded the study, and Jay Fufaro has been instrumental. Part of the problem is there's only been the voices of the couple dozen farmers that have been heard, and we in Molawa'a have had no proof as to where our water's been going and how it's been diverted into Kaloko and Tupila'a for the past decade. But now we do have the proof. But what are we as a community going to do, and how long are we willing to wait until something happens? You know, are we going to wait till more people are killed? 8 people died for 7 legal customers' water usage. That ain't right. You know, and there's water that watered 6,000 acres of land that should be used as a community resource. Still there, it just needs to be discussed. So,
you know, one of the main themes, running themes, in regards to these town hall meetings that has been voiced is sustainability, self-sustainability, and producing food. Becoming self-sustainable in regards to providing food for the community of Kauai. So I think that perhaps KKCR in the future can be more of a voice, because as you said, your voices as local farmers are not being heard. So perhaps KKCR can help your voice be heard. More so. And I want to thank you for bringing your concerns, which is a concern, should be a concern of this whole island, to be heard town hall meetings. Mahalo.
Thank you for being here.
My name's Catherine, and I'm a KKCR member and a listener. And I'm here to glean input from everyone who attends and the thoughts and issues that they have, but we've also been given this little checklist of thoughts that we might put down to think through what are our top 5 economic concerns. And so I'll just tick through a few of those, maybe. One is, and particularly in the line of work that I'm in, with the economic downturn, people are either bringing their grown children back into their home, or they have to send their young children and graduating, you know, students on off island, out into the mainland, or over to other islands in order to find work. So I feel like work here cannot be reliant only on tourism. And if you look at the broader issues that face our island in the goal of trying to be more independent in the way of sustaining and able to nurture our own needs, there's plenty of industries that could be fostered. And energy is one of them. If you look at the fact that our entire water and oil system, I mean, our entire water and energy system on the island is completely reliant upon oil throughout, not counting gravity-fed systems, but, you know, that's another kind of issue. So lack of work, tourism, single-focused ways of getting work, and then if it comes all the way down to a vicious cycle that I think children... cultural and arts programs are being cut. You know, the governor needs to take the actions she needs to balance the budget, but schools and education programs are being cut, and in the end, it just leads to more financial difficulties and ruin and no enhancement for the future generations. So that's just kind of a big swath of five or so concerns wrapped up. They all kind of interlink, you know, like so many things on an island.
Before you pass that on, did you listen to the last town hall meeting? And at that town hall meeting, they brought up concerns of the layoffs of state workers. Many of those state workers do provide various different services to the community, various different agencies, such as child welfare and other agencies as well, that provide the services for a community. Here we are at an economic downturn, which all the more our community is going to be requiring these types of services. What are your feelings about that, and do you have any thoughts in regards to how Ms. Linda Lingo can balance or take from other sources or any input whatsoever?
Well, I don't have that macro view that she has to have, you know, to suffer through all of the broad array of needs that the full state has. But I tend to turn to our own resources on the island and to within our own government offerings and our own county council as well. And I would tend to challenge them to, you know, if when my budget is challenged, I look across the board and, you know, you do have to cut painful things, but it all comes down to certain philosophical things where you believe that certain things are necessities and other things are luxuries. And unfortunately, in this time, we've flipped a lot of that. The necessities are, you know, making sure our children are cared for and that people have the fundamentals. And the niceties, you know, I hate to say it, cultural and art programs are a nicety. I hate to say it, I'm very involved in them. But maybe not cutting them to death, maybe just cutting, you know, a little bit of everything everywhere. Again, I don't have the broad view she has to have and the legislators have to have. I think it's not just up to her, it's legislators that work with her, and it's each island's own governor, I mean mayors and councils, that they have to pull together and find ways to meet the needs. So
what I hear from you is, in regards to Kauai, that the county council needs to look at their own fiscal the process and determine in the counties, within the individual counties, where funds need to be cut and where they need to be applied in order to service community.
Right, and I'm not in the throes of it, you know, and I don't attend the county council meetings, but I have a hard time with $500K being given to a tourism agency when people are going hungry or other kind of things. Not to say that there aren't some needs to be met in that way, but when you're reliant on one industry for all your jobs, you know, of course then you're going to try to seek to fork over big chunks that service that industry. I just look at a small matter of that kind and say, good grief, you know, can't we juggle our budget in a better manner? And maybe something that's more representative of what the whole island would be in favor of. So anyway, that's just an opinion on that little topic. So passing on. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello. My name is Brad, and I live on the North Shore, and I'm a volunteer and member at KKCR. And I decided, I was thinking the hour before this, what I wanted to say, and it helps that you all have a list here of top five economic issues, and so I'm going to sort of read from that. But overall, one thing I agree pretty much with what Mike said about the economy, that we're sort of in a false sense of recovery right now, and that things are at a minimum from a cyclical or a seasonal nature are probably going to change soon, maybe even also from a cyclical aspect. And I agree with what Hope is speaking about water, and also Catherine about energy. But what I wanted to add is, to me, it appears as though that measures or steps taken by the current mayor's administration and the county council have been tentative half measures so far over the past, say, year. And the mayor and council, to me, appear to be moving slowly and doing the minimum necessary for economic sustainability. In other words, as the mayor mentioned during the campaign last year, he used the term economic tsunami. And where it looks like to me we're at in that is the water has receded, and it seems like things are actually maybe better, but it's because people can't see that this water is going to come in strong with a vengeance. And the further items I think that are important in dealing with economic sustainability going forward, they're energy, waste, and water, and food. But the one I think that drives the others more so than any is energy. And I believe that the county should be considering using its bonding authority, for example, as Berkeley has done, and also possibly property taxes to further renewable energy projects at the residential level here on the island. On the waste issue, there's been a lot of community discussion in the past week, and there's a really good book out that I think encapsulates this whole line of thinking that's now being accepted by corporate America, and it's the title of the book is Cradle to Cradle. But basically, it makes absolutely no sense for the mayor's administration to continue pursuing waste to energy. It's a waste of energy, and also it loses the opportunity to fully employ people in what the alternative would be, and that is reduce, reuse, recycle, the zero waste policy that develops a multiple, a MRF, recovery facility for waste. And that has become the most realistic best practices standard the world over. And it's what we should automatically be pursuing right now. And we shouldn't, county policy, shouldn't be wasting time and energy and money on a waste-to-energy plan that has not, the likes of which has not been established in the past decade anywhere else in the country. But the last point I'll make is about, I guess, water and food. And I believe that the county needs to build renewable energy redundancy into their water and wastewater departments to try to reduce the amount of power, basically it ends up being oil-based power, that both our county water and wastewater departments rely upon. That's vital, because that's going to determine what we can do with food development here on the island, and even just the basic need of drinking water. And then I would say that food is developing food here on the island is important, because we rely too heavily upon food shipped in from the outside, but that these other things have to be addressed first before that's going to realistically be able to be addressed. And it may in fact be that the food issue, because there's a profitability problem in growing it here, that may not be addressed until we're actually in a crisis. But I think the other things I've mentioned here should be addressed before the crisis gets any worse.
Thank you. When you were listening to, because I know you were working in terms of the questions prior to the meeting starting, but when you were listening to others, basically what was the main thought in regards to the issue, the main issue you feel needs to be addressed?
I think the main thing is what I sort of led off with, that there's a false sense right now on the island that things on the outside environment, economic environment, are getting better, and that as a result, we don't. The policymakers, I think, are believing that they don't really have to do much right now other than balance their budgets. And that was one last point I wanted to make, is that the budget process, local and state, was difficult this year, but it very well could become even more difficult next year. And these policymakers should really be doing more than just trying to balance their budget in a given year. They have to be starting to change policy for going forward. And there's, I think, the overriding thing is there's a false sense that things are stabilizing, okay, and they don't have to be proactive and really change policy right now. And as a result, not a whole lot is actually changing, certainly not quickly.
In regards to our county, what is the message you want to get to our county, like the mayor, the county council, in regards to trying to help Kauai get through this process? And looking in next year, what do you feel is the message you want to get to them to be able to focus on helping this community?
Well, I would say expediting the processes that they pursue. For example, in the county council, it takes them a long time to get through just one possible ordinance, batting it back and forth. I would even say, in some many cases, excessive testimony, not from the public, but I mean from the members. And so I think there needs to be a sense of urgency and starting to move and accomplish things. And if I had to compare the two, I'd say the mayor's maybe doing a little bit better job of that than the council. But both of them, I think, need to take on a greater sense of urgency.
Thank you.
So I'll pass on the mic. Thank you.
Aloha, my name is Fred Dente. I have two jobs. I'm a music teacher, private music teacher, and I'm also a carpenter because the economy is getting bad locally, so that my students, I don't have as many students as I used to have. I'd like to just teach music all the time. That would be wonderful. But, you know, folks just can't afford to have private music lessons and lots of other things there, so they're cutting things out, and so... But I'm not complaining. I feel very blessed by Akua that I have a degree in business administration, which I never thought I'd ever use, but I basically have used that to be frugal in my life and to try to be efficient. So I've been able to survive, you know, even with less income. So my concerns mostly are for the community in general, the collective, the people, and just the nation, which I believe... that this is the nation of Hawaii, and I'm a dual citizen because I was born and raised in America, but I also feel that I'm a dual citizen because I live in these two nations. And until the occupation is over, you know, I'll be in two nations. Maybe who knows what the future is going to bring? But that's how I feel. So I have some general issues and some specific ones. Generally speaking, since we are living in an occupied nation, we are living under the economy of the United States of America, so we're forced to deal with the dollars and all the stuff that comes down from Washington, D.C., and the policymakers there. So right now, it's the national economy has basically been destroyed, or is being destroyed rapidly, by really poor decision-making and by focusing... all this bailout money and all the aid, not on grassroots people and not helping individual people, but and bailing out criminals who caused all these problems in the first place. And then you have these genocidal wars we've been pursuing forever, it seems like. Now we have two of them going, at least, and it looks like it's escalating every day. So it's just like all the national debt and the budget deficits are huge, unbelievably huge, and it's not going to go away, and you know, for generations. I mean, there just doesn't seem to be any light at the end of the tunnel there, as far as that goes. So that's kind of generally how I feel about the national system that we're living under here. Whether we believe we're living in an occupied nation or not, that's what we're dealing with. As far as local issues here on the island, I guess my number one issue is the KIUC ridiculous rate system and the way that they're pursuing generating energy for the future, for now and the future. It's ridiculous. It's Stone Age what these people are doing. We have a PUC meeting coming up. I believe it's Wednesday night. That should be really well attended, and that should be a hot and heavy meeting, you know. Tuesday night, okay. Where is that anyway? Tuesday night?
Wilcox Elementary
at 6 p.m. I hope everybody comes out, because if you're, we're all paying, pretty much all of us are paying these ridiculous rates. A report just came out recently, like within the last week, saying that nationally in America, that rates are coming down all across America. What a great deal. And what are we doing? We're going up really high. We've already got the highest rates in America, and it's going way higher. And there's no end, seemingly no end in sight. And there's no visionary designs for, you know, what we really know we have to do here as far as getting off fossil fuels. There's talk about, burning biodiesel and this and that, and some waste to energy things, and all these things are they're not the optimum way to go. And so we've really got to take control of our co-op on a grassroots level and make these guys have some direction, because we can have much more control of them than we can of Obama and those people in Washington, all the rest of those folks. So that's probably the number one issue here that I have on my list. I don't know. Another thing I have a problem with is gas prices. They're artificially pumped up by whoever it is that's controlling the gasoline here. And then when everything comes down in America, they stay up, or they maybe even climb a little bit. So there's this big, huge lag time there. And then the price per gallon is about 60 to 70 cents per gallon higher than it is on the mainland, or America. Okay, it's been proven more than once, and there have been state government reports that have come out. One, I think the last one was from Marion Higa, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was our state auditor, who said that we are getting ripped off. And she gave all the reasons. I remember the article in the Honolulu Advertiser, and it came here to our Garden Island also. But nobody does anything about it. So we've got all this information and facts and everything, and our own state officials are telling us we're getting ripped off. However, we still have 60 to 70 cents per gallon higher all the time. high rents here for poor people, for people who can't afford it, low rent people, low income people. It's devastating. A lot of people cannot continue to live here. And as we know, of course, many people have left. Many native people have left. The native population's been decimated by the cost of living here. And so, people say, well, when you come here as a settler, as I am, okay, the paradise tax is this and such, and you're going to pay this much more to live here, and the food prices and everything else. But the high rents, I have some sympathies for landlords, because everybody's under the same economic pressure, so landlords are having a hard time lowering rents, to make it more affordable for people, because they have to pay their bills too, most people who are landlords. And so it's this crunch that we're in. So people, low-income people are still paying the high rents, but income is a lot lower, and, we're in a recession, a serious recession. So that's a big problem. I don't know what the answer is. Let's see. Oh, yeah. And then the other probably could be the main issue. I think Catherine talked about it, is the continued reliance of our leaders, of our state leaders here, on tourism and the military as the economic base of these islands, not just Kauai, of the islands. And, as we know, as it's coming out just in the last couple of days with the 50th year of statehood here, that... And if anyone does any research, you'll know that the islands were basically taken over because it was a military base that was going to be in the middle of the Pacific. And so, thanks to Dan Inouye and others, the king of pork barrel politics, they've poured billions and billions of dollars in here, and they pumped up the population so they could vote for statehood and all the other things that have happened. And we have our Star Wars launches out there, which have been proven to be phony. I have a Wall Street Journal article. Oh, no, Washington Post article that I have a copy of that I've sent around that was, this is from 15 years ago when we were protesting out there at the when they did their first launch, that those launches were fixed. They were all fixed just to make work. This was proven. Now maybe now there's a lot more scrutiny on them, and so they're actually hitting their targets. But that's how they got this thing off the ground, was they did a bunch of phony tests. They shot a bunch of things up in the air and just blew a bunch of stuff off out into the ocean, and then they claimed all these amazing success rates, which were lies. And we still have this going on out there as one of the major income base of our island, and Oahu is a lot worse, and all the other things we know about that have gone on these islands because of the military occupation of these islands. So anyway, I don't want to take any more time, but those, you know, there's a lot of stuff there that we can get into if we want to go into detail on that. I'll pass that along. Thank you, KKCR and Jerry and Catherine and Mahilani and everyone else for making this happen. I hope that we have more of these and they become more well attended, and you know, we really, because what else is there for us to come to common ground on but all these issues that we're discussing? It's Ohana. It's caring about one another.
Thank you, Fred.
Hi, and thank you for this series. My name is Marge, and I'm from the Waipoli Ahupua'a. I have several points. I work for a big box organization, and the instability of our jobs is not current at this time. But if the economy gets any worse here, which I believe it will be and agree with many people who have spoken before me, I think that many of the large big boxes and large stores will start either cutting back on hours or laying off. They will have no choice. And so already people, I find, are feeling very insecure about their jobs, which also include their health insurance and some other benefits. For many people, if these are lost, it would be an enormous crisis in their lives, an enormous crisis. Not just the job, but the benefits. And I also think that because jobs are being looked at, sort of wondering whether people will continue to be employed, people are becoming very cautious and restless, and I feel suspicious of their employers and have now a different attitude about working at their places of work. And I think people are becoming somewhat secretive and conniving to get work, to get jobs that might be out there or in the companies that they work already, and trying to move up, whereas before they may not have had that idea to do that. And I think in the long run, people are not getting out as much into the community. Number one, cost of gas, or perhaps they've already lost their job and therefore lost their cars and cannot get out to meetings, particularly in the evening when bus service is not available here on the island. We passed a funeral last evening in Kaloa Town. I think probably funerals will still be well attended, but I don't think that meetings in the community are still well attended. That's a tremendous disadvantage, because what I believe this will lead into very soon in the future is that people will feel disconnected in their communities, and they will not feel that they are individually recognized or neighborhood recognized, and they will feel a lack of power within our community. Kauai has always been able to get the word out to what's going on, but there's so many issues now, as everyone knows, some of which have been brought up today, and in other of our Be Heard meetings that are key issues. And when I tell people about these meetings, they say, oh, I don't have time to do that. It's my evening time. I've got to get home and prepare for my next day job or my second day job or second time job. I don't have the time to go to meetings. And on weekends, like today, my neighbors are very busy mowing their lawn and painting their house. So rather than hiring somebody to do that because they can't afford to do that, I think people are losing aloha. People are becoming very fearful and impatient. You can see this on the highways. And I think that this is pretty much a result of becoming fearful, living in fear. We are all experiencing living in fear. And patience and compassion are becoming somewhat obsolete here. I have some suggestions. I believe that we have a powerful force in this community two ways, KKCR and Hoike. And I think it is our responsibility through both these organizations to conduct classes. Hoike would be very, very important because it could be visual. And visually, classes usually are more helpful to people than audio classes. Cooking. I grew up in World War II. I have countless cookbooks on how to make cakes and casseroles, literally on a dime. You do not have to have designer ingredients to cook a healthy meal for a family that does not cost you a fortune. My mother was able to put out 3 square meals a day. We all are very healthy people as a result of it. And I think this really needs to happen on Kauai. If you are to follow any of the local people in a shopping mall or a shopping store and look at their baskets full of junk food, high fat, high salt food. And in many cases, food here is cheaper at the fast food restaurants than going to the local markets to prepare your own food. But guess what? High fat, high salt, all of it and high sugar, all of it promoting very bad health, leading to diabetes, which we all know is a very major problem here, particularly with our Kanaka Maoli. We need to change this around, and education can happen. Other programs, I'll go through them quickly. Car maintenance, growing our food, how to start a garden, how to plant fruit trees, how to do canning, how to freeze food, how to hunt for food. We have many hunters on this island who could give lessons in archery and rifle hunting. Fishing for food, developing fish ponds, raising animals for food, and how to slaughter and how to process this whole procedure. Designing and building your own home. There's no need to hire a very expensive architect and try to design homes that are very small and energy efficient. They do not have to be 3,000 square foot homes or even 1,200 square foot homes. They could be smaller than that. Making sure that building materials are recyclable so that people who do want to build a house can in fact use already used windows, lumber, structural pieces, any number of things that go into building a home. I want to get back to raising animals for food. At one of our other meetings for the Be Heard series, our county officials were talking about trying to make land available for people to grow large amounts of cattle and to keep it here on island. Apparently, according to them, all cattle that is now being raised is shipped off the island and fattened up, slaughtered, and then some of it shipped back to us. our county officials think that this is not really productive, and we could become more self-sustaining for meat eaters to be able to have all our cattle raised here, slaughtered, and processed here. And they are currently looking at areas on the west side for this to happen. So I'm encouraged by that. I'm very encouraged by that. Okay, we all know food pricing is going up, and the tax on food in this state is absurd. If you add up how much people spend in sales tax for food, it's overwhelming. And for families of maybe three or four children, their food bill can be $200 or $300 a week times 0.04167%. That's a lot of money spent on tax for food. I can see tax on automobiles and things that may be considered more luxury items, but to me, food is a staple for all families, and healthy food to keep people healthy and happy and productive, lead productive lives in our community. The other area that I feel that people are really in serious trouble with is credit cards. And if any of you have credit cards, you've probably received notification within the last 3 to 4 months that all their rates and fees are increasing tremendously. Now, I use credit cards. I'm dependent upon credit cards to buy high-ticket items. And if I miss a payment or I can't afford to make a payment, all of a sudden I'm paying a huge high fee for not paying off my credit card. I think a lot of people don't understand this, and they can never pay down their credit card, and it is totally making them bankrupt. And yes, it's easy to say, oh, I'll just buy it on credit, but we need to educate people more thoroughly about the real costs of credit card buying. I think that's all I have for now, and thank you everybody for coming.
My name is Janet Ashkenazy. I appreciate the opportunity to speak. I was really planning on mowing my lawn today, but there's something that's really been gnawing at me. I am a retired state social worker. And I see where my fellow comrades working for the state are now being threatened with massive layoffs. This concerns me greatly because, you know, when you have so many people fired, it's like throwing a pebble on a pond. You're going to see far-reaching consequences throughout the community. Of course, one of the things you think about is, oh, my God, Costco's going to go broke. Well, they may not go broke, but 1,100 people being fired is 1/6 of the population of the whole island. And this will have economic consequences for other businesses, Home Depot, Walmart, Kmart, and all the small businesses. Those people are going to suffer. And you know, I see so much corruption going on this island. For instance, Marge was talking about the lack of bus service or appropriate bus service when we need it. Well, you know what? The state, Kauai, has received $200 million to build a bike path. And this is called alternative transportation. I don't think so. I think it's called recreation. And I think that $200 million should have been put in the bus system. So I can, if I want, I can leave my house at 11 o'clock and go anywhere I want on the bus. But that's not possible right now. And I just wonder, where is that $200 million actually going to? Why is Department of Planning pushing for it? So is this bike path actually a financial conduit going straight into the planning department? I really wonder. But getting back to the people who may be fired, this is really disturbing to me. I see as a result the whole state being brought down into a further depression. What is Linda Lingle thinking? You know, the woman is shooting straight from the hip. And we have seen this in a previous period when she was pushing for the super ferry. And she took out $40 million of the taxpayers' money to promote her ferry. And she did this single-handedly. I know that other people were involved, but she got them involved. She was at the top of the pile. It's sickening. And the thing is, the super ferry subsequently declared bankruptcy. Now we're stuck with this $40 million debt. Furthermore, the super ferry had other bills to pay, which they failed to pay. So people, you know, all over are suffering. And you know what? The other day, I heard where Linda Lingle had offered, well, she said that she was taking a pay cut. Well, I don't think she's entitled to any pay. She is responsible for the state being bankrupt, really. And if, you know, if she wanted to help out, really, she should be working for free. And I'm just trying to think, you know, that $40 million plus dollars that she spent on the super ferry could be maintaining employment for the people with the state for much needed services. I don't see that happening. And furthermore, if she would go without her salary, which she should be liable for, then probably three or four people with the state could continue to maintain their jobs. And I think that's about all. Everyone else has said things that I totally agree with, but I'll tell you, the most valuable people on this island are the farmers. They are the leaders in showing how we can live independently. And they, you know what? The farmers should not have to wait for their water. Special efforts should be given to the farmers. Special efforts should be made so that they can continue to farm, because you know what? We are going to be dependent on them eventually. One of the things that the federal government does not seem to really take into consideration is climate change. This is happening. I mean, have we noticed that the North and South Poles have glaciers that are melting? This is certainly a sign that something serious is happening. There droughts by concerned scientists are predicted. I mean, these are going to be affecting farmers on the mainland, but perhaps we'll be able to do better here. And I think we've really got to support these guys. And, you know, there are other things that we could be doing. I really wish that KIUC, the so-called co-op, could be furnishing people with solar panels to make electricity. Instead of paying such high bills, they could be paying off the panels each month. Anyway, there have been such good thoughts put out today, and I think that this is all I've got to say. And thank you very much.
Auntie, I just want to ask a question. You were retired as a state worker providing services.
Correct.
And I know you were you're about to get very emotional regarding the layoffs with the state workers. Mm. And I just want for you to share a little bit of information in terms of your past and the colleagues you worked with in these services. During this time, do you feel that the services that the people are providing, the state workers, I know many in child care services and whatnot, do you feel that the community, especially here in Kauai, with the loss of jobs, with even in the tourist industry, several of our hotels have shut down recently, and they said for repairs, but they still are not on board. and many people are competing for jobs, and the jobs are just lessening and lessening. I know a lot of families are facing foreclosure and homelessness. Mm-hmm. What's your concern in regards to they think about that the layoffs could start as early as September and definitely starting in October. What are your concerns for the community if this happens?
Well, I think that it's going to further depress the economic situation of the community. And furthermore, I'll tell you what I did. I worked with elderly people to keep them in their own homes. I helped them to get helpers in their own homes rather than putting them into nursing homes, which are far more expensive and definitely not to most people's liking. And now that's no longer available. The job that I had has been outsourced to private companies where the caseload per worker is 300 clients. Now, you cannot give services, adequate services, for 300 people all at once. Now, my caseload was about 20. And I could give adequate services. I could save people from disease, from having to go to care facilities. I could spot problems, which we took care of, you know. And it's not what it used to be. And the services will definitely go downhill. And probably very special services that will suffer are services to children. And when we do not serve our children, we're asking for major future problems. And you can only imagine what they would be. No education, no health programs, abuse in the families, which will carry on to new families. It's mind-boggling. And, you know, when you cut down on services, you are cutting down on the strength of the society. I just don't, you know, I could go on, but I can't, you know.
Yeah. I understand, Andy.
Yeah.
Mahalo for your sharing.
Mahalo.
Your concerns.
My name is Bob Hutchinson. I guess I lived here 22 years. I wasn't planning on saying anything. I kind of came late. I just wanted to be an observer. Some of the things I was thinking of, like in third world, you know, I've been hearing so much about town hall meetings all over the country, and so this intrigued me, you know. I've often thought that, like, in the third world, I spend most of my year in the third world, and they have, it's more socialist type of society, and it's maybe something, I don't know if it'd be nice to see a coming trend change in American society in that way, because in some ways it has benefits. Like, I was kind of coming here to be an observer. You need kind of a charismatic type of person to take the lead. There's things that I would like to see, you know. I mean, I'm just in the background. I'm just looking for a job. But I'd like to see somebody take the lead. That can lead on some of these issues. Like a community garden, you know. Either the government donate the land. Somebody that has the power can organize these things. If you had community meetings like they have in the third world, say, you know, like once a month, people get together, you know, in a group like this, maybe this many or twice as many people, like in the Philippines, in a barangay, you know, they have a barangay captain. He organizes it. People address their concerns. He says, okay, we'll have a meeting. We'll meet in this time, this place. We'll fix the road here, you know. Somebody that has some land, let's get a community garden going. That's an important thing, you know. If government or somebody that has a lot of unused land, I don't know the concept, but I've seen a couple of them happening here, but there's too many limitations, restrictions, requirements. Let's make it a little more simple and easy for people to get together, you know, when they have time and maybe donate a little time. I don't know. It's going to take a lot of getting together to, you know, so that people can maybe get a little food and organize projects like that. Those were a couple of the, you know, I just wanted to be an observer. I didn't really plan on saying anything here. But those are, you know, like I say, the town meetings, it's been intriguing me to see this happening here. You know, it'd be nice if it was a regular thing, if we had a local, you know, I don't know what the title would be. Wouldn't be barangay captain, but Kilauea could use something like that. Every town on the island, you know, 2030, I expected to see 100 people here. I'm really surprised at the small turnout, you know. I don't have a whole lot of skills other than service work, you know, but organizing meetings, and I was hoping that the leader would show themselves, and then, you know, the leaders follow the lead of the people, but they know how to get it together, you know. They can address the concerns, and then they know how to distribute and focus them. Things are evolving and changing. We all see that around the country. It'd be a shame if we're all forced to make, you know, for all this to come about. But I see the coming trends, you know. We're all, it's all in the background and leading up to it. And we're slowly transitioning into it. And I'm happy to see that, too. I hope it's not too drastic. And I hope the leaders take the lead so that the people can lead, and, you know, the leaders lead and the people follow, or the people lead and leaders, you know, I don't know how that works, but I don't have a whole lot to say, but I'll pass it on from here.
Thank you so much. You know, usually you can find the leaders because they're the ones who show up at the first meetings. Okay.
I did want to, one of the attendees that had to leave to go to work on a Saturday afternoon wrote out some comments. I'll read off of this. It's a little bit cryptic, so top five economic issues are, and just listed in order here, economic stimulus via lower taxes, and I assume that means he would like to see stimulus rather than money given out, have a stimulus in the form of lower taxes.
And I think he meant land taxes for private people who own land.
Yeah, there's a number of the other points here seem to be focused more on property taxes. So, like, the second one here is less government control, licensing fees, taxes, and interference in small businesses, which create the majority of the jobs in Hawaii and Kauai. The third item is spending more money doesn't equate necessarily with better education. And then the next sentence is a little cryptic, but it says, for example, I guess, why are there four public school districts rather than only one? I guess the assumption there is that perhaps it could be more efficient with one. I don't know. I'm just reading off the paper. The other fourth item here, allowing the public sector to provide the labor workforce for services at less costs. And then the example he cites is Polyhale. So in other words, having the public sector provide services at less cost rather than depending upon state county laborers. And then the last point here is why increase property taxes to improve energy sources when we're not happy with the way the government leadership is running things now. So then the follow-on question is, why tax ourselves more to give money to people who govern ineffectively? Get government out of the way, allowing small business to solve these issues. So that was his comments.
All right. Thank you.
I want to thank everybody for being here on a Saturday afternoon, taking time out of your Saturday, because I know you're all busy. You should be mowing the lawn, probably, and like I should. But, you know, but we're here. And as word of these meetings spread, I hope you go back and tell people about the meeting and watch for, you know, announcements on KKCR for future meetings. And we'll be putting it up on this website. That's an ongoing website. We'll be putting it in the newspaper. And so look forward to future participation by everyone and more that's here. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, everyone. Mahalo for everyone coming. Mahalo.